11. Now, I'm going to need one of you men to help me with the lights here in just a few minutes. I'm going to illustrate the message tonight with a short little clip of a video that I'm going to show you in a few minutes. But tonight, if somebody would be prepared to do that, I'd appreciate it. Let's look in Ecclesiastes, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 11. Ecclesiastes right on the right side of Psalms there. And look at chapter 11 and verse 9. Chapter 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Boy, that sounds good, don't it? And walk in the ways of thine heart. Hallelujah. I like that verse. And in the sight of thine eyes. That's wonderful. Hold your finger there. You know what it's saying? Live it up while you're young. Walk in the sight of thine eyes. Live after your heart. Enjoy life. It would be nice if that's all it said. But the verse don't stop there. Look at the rest of it. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That throws a whole new light on it there, don't it? Well, you can go out and have a big time, do anything you want to, but just remember this. God's going to judge you for it. Now, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. For childhood and youth, that's what you are, young people, are vanity. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know what that's saying? Remember God while you're young. All right? And the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Just for a few minutes tonight, I want to preach on the subject, some things young people should remember. You know, if you're below 20 tonight, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, on down in there, I'm going to remind you some things that you better remember. Are you boys listening? Girl, you better remember this. Because I know what it feels like to be young. There's something in me, never did grow up anyway, and I still relate to about 10, 11-year-old kids, and I know how they feel. And you know what? You feel like when you're young that you have all this time, and you've got plenty of time for God and what's important, but you just want to be young and do what you want to now. And that's the first thing I want to say. When you're young, you better remember how short your life is. It's hard for you to imagine being old. I remember sitting on the school bus when I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8 years old. I remember sitting on the school bus watching high school boys get on the school bus. And I thought they were so old. These boys were like 16, 17. And I thought, wow. Them is some big, bad dude. I wonder if I'll ever be 17. I thought they were so old. These big old boys got on the school bus. They walked back through there. They'd knock those little kids in the head. You know, I remember they'd come up like this. They'd put their hands on top of the bus walking back. I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. I thought, wouldn't that be neat to be able to do that? I was in 11th grade before I could reach the top of the bus. Them boys, I thought, man, they're so tough. They are so, them boys, and I thought, man, they are old. And I remember thinking 18 was old. I remember thinking that. Now, to mamas and daddies here tonight, you think, 18. But, you know, I remember thinking 18 was old. And I remember, Lord, if you was 20, forget you. You was out of touch with reality. I mean, you had 1 foot in the grave if you was 25. And I remember thinking like that. And young people, you don't realize how fast your life's going to go by. The slower, the younger you are, the slower time goes. I remember when I was little, it would start getting Christmas time. And I'd say, Mom, how long is it till Christmas? She'd say, Danny, it's 6 weeks till Christmas. And I'd say, oh, I can't wait. 6 weeks? How many days is that? She'd say, it's 42 days, Danny. I said, why does it have to be? I can't wait 6 weeks. I can't wait 6 more weeks. She said, yes, you can. Now, you go on and play. It'll be about 2 weeks. I said, Mom, how long is it till Christmas? She'd say, it's about 3.5 weeks. I said, God, I can't wait. This would be like the 1st of December. And I remember they'd bring our Christmas tree in. You remember when you was little? I mean, they'd bring our tree in. They'd put it over in the corner, and we'd help Mom decorate it. And my heart, I remember thinking, Mom, how long is it now? She said, only 2 weeks. I said, 2 weeks? 2 weeks, like 14 days. Why can't we go ahead and have it now? You know, they'd bring our presents in there. Lord have mercy, I'd make it worse. I mean, poor little old youngins. I'd be ashamed treating them like that. I'd bring all them presents and put it in on that tree and smack them if they touch it. That's child abuse. I done all three of mine that way. Boy, you put them presents in there, and your heart just doesn't say, I want. Oh, I can't wait until 2 weeks. I remember feeling like that. I thought, I'll die before 2 weeks. I will not live. Mom, I can't make it. You let me have one of my presents. And she'd say, nope, you ain't opening one of them. You can't touch one of your presents till Christmas. Christmas Day. She wouldn't even let us have them Christmas Eve. Christmas morning, no, sir. I mean, that was cruel to us. And I thought, I can't stand it. I done the same thing you done. When Mom and Dad got gone, I'd pick up my presents, you know, and I'd look at it like that, and I'd shake it, and I'd hold it up like that to the light, and I'd see if I could hear anything in it. And you know, I'd take my fingernail, and I'd pick the tape off like that, pick it up. All you hypocrites that's done that, raise your hand. I'd pick it up, and I'd peep down in there to see what it was. You know, after you messed with it like that, you can't never get it. It won't look right when you put it back. So then what do, hypocrite? You put it underneath all the other presents like that, so they don't know you've been looking at it. But I remember on Christmas Eve, I honestly thought I'd die. I thought, when's it going to happen? Tomorrow morning. Let's have them now. Mom said, no, tomorrow morning. Now, you know what? I remember feeling like that. Now, I'm grown. I have kids of my own. And it honestly, every 2 months, it's Christmas now. I mean, you don't even get last year's paid for. It's Christmas again. I dread to see it coming now. Don't you? Every time I turn around, it's Christmas. Yeah. I mean, I'm like them rednecks, man. I about leave my Christmas lights up on the porch. You might as well. They'll start putting them out here in a few months, and it's Christmas again. Now, when somebody says it's 5 weeks to something, they're saying, boy, that's right around the corner. It's here. You know why? Because the older you get, the more you realize time is moving on. It's a moving on. And ain't nobody in here getting no younger. I'm telling you, you're older than you've ever been. I don't care if you've been to the spa and the Y and the tanning bed and that wore out. You're older than you've ever been. Amen. You know, somebody told me, some idiot told me, they said, you're only as young as you think you are. I mean, I can't believe anybody could get driver's license that believes that. That's crazy. That's the retardedest thing I ever heard in my life. You know how old you are? Ever how old you are? Amen. No matter how you feel. You say, well, I feel 20. Well, duh, it don't matter. You're ever how old you are. You say, well, somebody told me I look. I don't matter how you look. You know how old you are? How old you are, that's how old you are. You ain't a day younger and a day older. And you're getting older and uglier every day, I can tell you that. That's right, buddy. And we're all dying. We're all, Christmas is coming out, and Judgment Day is too. And, brother, it really bothers me tonight how many young people just say, well, that's all right for you old people. It's okay if you want to go to church every night, but I'm young. Leave me alone. I'll serve God. You better remember how short time is, because it goes real fast. I mean, it goes like this. You know, when you're 9, 10, when you're 11, 12 years go like this. 13. What do you want when you're 13? You want to get your driver's license. That's all I can think about. I want my license. Here again, 14, 2 more years. That's eternity. I mean, it's forever and ever and ever and ever. 15. Yeah, now that 1 more year. I think, reckon the world's going to come to an end before I can get my license. Will they still have cars then? I mean, it's a whole year. I reckon they'll still allow 16-year-olds to drive. On my 16th birthday, my mom took me to the DMV and got my driver's license. I couldn't wait till the next week, you know, couldn't wait. On my birthday, had to go. 16, I got them. That's the way it goes. Then you know what you want to be when you're 16? You want to be 18. You want to be out of school. I was 17. I got out of high school when I was 17. You know what? 18, finally got there. And then it goes 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38. Some of you can't even remember your 30s. Really, really, I bet I can set you right down. You say, I remember when I was 20. Like, Lord, am I 65? How old am I, honey? You know why? Because the older you get, a year goes by and you don't even realize. Now, you kids here tonight, because you have to go to school, and I feel sorry for you. That's your punishment for being young. And I served my time and got out of that thing, man. But I tell you what, boy, you got to go to school, and I feel sorry for you. But listen, you're going to be shocked at how old you get fast. As a matter of fact, my time, if you don't do something for God by the time you're 25, you probably ain't going to do much. Because you start getting old quick. You know what midlife crisis is? Is when you get about 35 and hit about 40 and you realize you ain't done nothing. And you think, Lord, I was going to do great things, but now, and here half your life done gone. I'm telling you, you better remember how short your life is. Let me say something else you better remember. According to the Bible tonight, you better remember that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. You better remember that, kid. You can go out tonight and you can live it up. You can go out there, they're partying their fool heads off out there tonight. I mean, boy, I tell you what, you can get on that like that crystal meth. You know what they put in that stuff? I've got information I'm putting together. When they take these little old meth labs, it's not something you can grow, you know, or something like that. They make it in meth labs and trailer parks. Some of them meth labs can fit in a suitcase where you can move it around from trailer to trailer so the cops won't get you. And these they take this stuff. They put all this out of Sudafed, you know, that's out of drug Sudafed you buy at Walmart. And then they mix, I mean, put battery fluid, you know, brake fluid, battery acid and antifreeze and everything else in the world in it, really. I mean, chemicals that will absolutely destroy you. And they put that stuff in there, and you can smoke it or swallow it or shoot it up or breathe it, however you want to get it in your system. And in a few minutes, you feel euphoria. I mean, you feel an ecstasy high. It just feels great. But it only lasts for a little while, and then you start coming down and crashing. And then when you crash, you think, man, I've got to do that again. I've got to do that again. And it's nothing unusual for young people to have a several hundred dollar a day habit, and then you have to start selling yourself for the drug one in order to get it, and then you start stealing people's weed eaters and VCRs and everything else to feed your habit. And boy, about 6 months later, you got sores all over your face, and you feel stuff crawling all over you all the time, and you're clawing at your face. You've lost your boyfriend. You've got an STD, sexually transmitted disease, or you wind up in jail, young man, and you realize that sin was fun, but it didn't last long. The pleasures of sin tonight are real short. Real short. You watch this crowd at party all the time. Check back with them in a year or two. Look at Hollywood. They'll come up with these little old stars, and they shine bright for about 5 years, and then they're gone. Look at them poor little old Olsen girls. Bless their heart. I mean, worth $100 million, and poor little old things. Lord, they look pitiful. There's no telling what kind of hell them girls live in. Or you take somebody like Britney, bless her heart. Hollywood's done used her up and thrown her out in the ditch. She's just about a has-been after somebody else come up. Listen, sin is fun. Sin will give you a thrill. You can go out there tonight and get high. You can go out there and sleep around with people you're not married to and experiment with sex and all that. And you might enjoy it, but there's hell to pay down the road. And you're going to pay. You're going to be sorry. There's going to come a time when you'll regret what you did. Listen, girls go to parties nowadays. When you go to bed with your boyfriend, y'all listen to me. You are not only touching him, but you're touching everybody he ever touched. And you can have a sexually transmitted disease and not even know it. About years ago when we went to school, there was basically four diseases they warned us about. You know, gonorrhea and herpes and stuff like that. You know how many they are now? 50. And one in every four teenagers has got one of them right now. You're playing with something that's going to destroy your life. And the only safe way is to remain monogamous. That means faithful to that one person, and boy, marry them and stay faithful to each other. That's the only hope you've got. You play around with sin, you'll pay a price for it. Boy, them girls used to come in up there at our church years ago, and I'd see them do real good. I'd seen them do real good. We had these two girls come in one time, and it was about 17 or 18. One of them was a cheerleader at our high school. And boy, they got saved. And when they got saved, they got a dose. I ain't kidding you. And boy, this girl, she came in, she was all smiles and all happy. And she'd sit there, and sit like on the second row. You know, because girls didn't usually sit on the front row. So all the young preachers sit on the front row. And all the girls sitting on the second row. And all these the girls sit there, and she'd open her Bible, and she'd just nod her head and smile. And everything I said, it just like, they're like feeding a little bird, just like that right there. Just eat it up. Every word that come out of my mouth. And I noticed that she was doing real good. She got right with God. And then one day, she didn't come to Sunday school. And about 10 minutes after 11 for the preaching service, she came in and sat near the back, and something was stuck on her arm. I don't know what it was. It's about that tall. Ugliest thing I ever seen in my life. What she saw in that thing, he's a football player. I mean, Lord have mercy, where do you find these things, girls? Is that the best you can do? I mean, he had zits all over his face, you know. I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, he had T's out on his leg, get his socks stand up. Looked like that thing right there, standing there, you know. Hair and all, buddy. Like that right there. And boy, I tell you, she thought, ain't he cute, preacher? Lord have mercy. It looked like a dog drug him in. I mean, it's pitiful looking. And she said, ain't he cute? I said, well, whatever, you know. And he didn't want to come to Sunday school. He felt uncomfortable. So he just come in for the preaching service and wanted her to sit way back and kept wanting her to sit further and further in the back. And I noticed the look on her face wasn't what it used to be, Brother Chris. She used to just sit there like this. Just out of it, you know, blonde roots. And yeah, he sat there listening to everything I said, and now she was looking at me like this while I was preaching. And when a girl looks at you like that, she's sinning. She's sinning. And I thought, oh my goodness. And one day, it wasn't long after that, till her sister called me and she said, Brother Danny, please pray for Tanya. Please pray for Tanya. Please pray for her. I said, what in the world's wrong? She said, Brother Danny, she's pregnant. She's going to Asheville today to have an abortion. She's going to pay a doctor money to kill her baby. She thinks nobody won't know it. She said, a lot of my family don't know it. She said, nobody at school knows it. She's a cheerleader. He's a football player. They don't want nobody to find out. They're going to pay several hundred dollars to have a doctor go inside her body and murder that baby. She did. That's exactly what she did. Brother, you say, well, is abortion murder? Sure it is. They got Scott Peterson out there in California for a double homicide. When he killed his wife and she was pregnant, double homicide. The state of California. What a bunch of hypocrites. They'll turn right around and say abortion. A fetus is not a baby. Why was Scott Peterson charged with homicide for killing one? If it's wrong for Scott Peterson to kill one, it's wrong for your doctor to kill one. Amen. You say, well, it's a woman's right to do what she wants. Oh, shut up, man. It is your right. Go kill yourself, but let your baby live.
Amen.
You do have a right to kill yourself. Have at it. Some of them need to. But I'll tell you something, brother. Listen, you don't have a right to kill that baby. Amen. Preach it, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, she had that little baby murdered, and that little baby's blood cries out for mercy from the blameless ground, and there'll be a judgment day when she'll face God for it, and that girl will never get over that. She's about 16 years old. She wound up marrying him. They had two kids, and then they got divorced. I don't know what happened to her now. I don't know where her life is. I don't think she's in church, and her life just went to the dogs. You know what she didn't realize, kids? She didn't realize that the pleasures of sin are only for a season. They'll show you, them people on MTV, real world, my foot. My foot. Why don't they show a partial birth abortion on MTV? They like it is, tell it like it is, don't censor nothing. Well, why don't they show kids what happens when you get hooked on methamphetamine? Why don't they show kids a documentary on all the rock singers that have died an early death because of drugs and alcohol and STDs and all that? Why don't they show it? You know why? They're trying to lie to you. They make you think there's no consequences to sin. You can just live however you want to live. But I'm telling you tonight, you better remember that book said, be sure your sin will find you out. And the pleasures of sin are just for a season. You better remember that. I'm going to tell you something else tonight. You better remember. The there's going to be a judgment day. There's going to be a judgment day. Bible said, rejoice, young man. Enjoy life. Do whatever you do. But remember this. There's going to be a judgment day. God will someday bring it to life. God will someday bring your life and all its activities to the judgment. Every secret thing, good or evil, God will not excuse you on the grounds of everybody's doing it or you didn't know no better and all that kind of stuff. Brother, He is going to judge you. You'll stand before God one day and be judged. Now tonight, the only way, they sang a while ago, Brother Jason, them singing about the blood is still there. That's our ticket to get us into heaven. If I had to die right now, if I had to die tonight, now I'm going to illustrate this, so listen carefully. It don't work like this, but just so you can get it in your mind, I'm going to paint you this picture. Let's say I had to die tonight, and I died, and I stood here at heaven's door, and I said, God, let me in heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Let me in heaven. And God would say, Danny, why should I let you in? Why should I? I'm going to tell him that I got saved when I was 18 years old and the blood of Jesus washed my sins away. I'm not going to say, I'm a preacher. I just got through preaching my Bible. Didn't you hear me? Didn't I, Chris's? The Lord ain't going to say, oh yeah, you can come on to heaven because you preached the Bible. That ain't good enough. I'm not going to say, Lord, I wore a tie. I got a King James Bible. I go to church every Sunday. I try to treat people right. I try to pay my bills. I try to do things the honest way. God, let me in heaven. God's going to say, nope, that ain't enough. You're not getting in. And then He's got a book up there, see. God's got this book. And this book is called the Book of Life. And He's going to go down through here and He's going to look. See, Castle, Danny. Saved. April the 19th, Nebo Baptist Church. He's an 18-year-old boy. Come on in.
Amen.
You see, I have reservations.
Yeah, that's good.
If I fly a lot to preach, and where I'm going, I'm going to be flying the day after our youth rally. I'm going to fly down to Orlando, Florida, preaching a week down there. And when I go to the airport, I walk up there. I've already got my reservation. My ticket's at my house right now. My reservations are already made. What time that plane's leaving and everything. Reserved for me. I have a seat reserved on that airplane. And when I go down there, I hand them my ticket. They say, yes, sir, Mr. Castle, come on in and sit down here. And I sit down in my seat, and I take my seat. It's already reserved. You can't just go run up there and say, hey, I want to go. Please, please let me in. You ain't got no reservation, you ain't going. You ain't going. Care how good you are. I don't care what kind of sob story you put on. I don't care how bad, how much you cry. You're not going to go. Could I ask you a question tonight? If you had to die right now, those young people die every single day. There's young people been dying while I've been preaching here tonight. I'm going to show you in a minute. Hold it just a second, brother. I'm going to show you in a minute an illustration of something like it could be. Now, it's not like this. They're using computer technology so you can relate to it. But young people, just like you guys right here, go out every Friday night just like this. And get killed, and don't never, ever, 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 ever have a chance. And I'm going to ask you tonight, you see yourself here, and you ask yourself this question, young man, young lady, if I had to die tonight, would the Lord let me in? Okay, as soon as I get a picture here, Brother Chris, you can go ahead and turn the lights out. I want you to watch this carefully, this little short video.
Ah. the same thing yesterday.
Oh, really? If a guy can't have a decent car, he at least ought to have a decent sound system.
Hey, at least I've got a car.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about getting a car like this, but I decided to wait till I could buy a real car.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
Well, boys and girls, that's 10 minutes we've been sitting out here waiting on the lovebirds. My stomach is dying for some serious nourishment.
I know. I wonder what's taking them so long. I'll go check it out.
Good move, Sherlock.
Crank it, dude. Yeah.
And who am I really thinking cares about me? I mean, I know we've only been on a few dates, but it's really special.
I'm like, do you really think Belle's friends want us hanging around?
Belle's friends will do whatever Belle wants.
Well, that's okay for you, but what about me? It makes me feel kind of strange, especially around Ken. I just don't think he likes me very much.
Oh, Mary, that's just Ken. He makes everybody feel like that.
Tell you what, man, it's a good thing Bill didn't start dating Allison during the season. He wouldn't have been worth shooting.
I don't know. I think they got a pretty good thing going.
I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying Bill's got a real bad case of the goo-goo eyes.
Yeah. Here they come.
Oh, well, what do you know? There is justice in this world.
Get a bolt of the driveway.
Transportation.
Oh, balls away!
All right. Good, do that.
Go, 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 go,
go, go, go,
go, go, go, go,
go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go, go,
What's he doing? Well, I smell smoke.
Oh, my. The reed's all right.
Oh,
I smell something burning.
Do, man.
Mary. Mary. Mary.
Mary. There's nothing down there.
George, what's the matter, man?
Well, just about a half hour ago, everyone in John's car was broadsided by some big truck. And there are people screaming and running all around us. It was just confusion. I don't know what happened to Mary. She was taken off in the lifeline. Allison and Bob were taken off in ambulances. John, Ken, and Bill are dead.
I guess this is it.
Well, come on, man. We can't be dead if we're still conscious.
Okay, then where are we?
Well, I don't know. Maybe we've slipped into another dimension.
name, please?
Janet Marie Cook.
Step to the left, please.
Bill. Bill! What do you think's happening here? If that's what I think it is, it's a judgment line.
A what?
A judgment line. A line to decide who goes to heaven and who goes to hell.
Oh, come on, man! Bill, do you really expect us to believe that some guy behind a computer decides whether we go to heaven or hell?
No. No, each person's supposed to decide for himself.
Well, that's just great, Bill. I'll choose heaven.
It doesn't work that way.
What are you talking about?
You're supposed to decide before you die.
Decide what?
Decide. What a person decides about God and about Jesus before he dies determines where he goes after he dies.
Oh, brother.
I know what Bill's talking about. I went on this ski trip once, and there was the speaker, and he said the same thing. It was as if he was talking right to me. I could feel my heart pounding.
Look! I think you're all suffering from some group hysteria or something. I can still see, touch, and hear. I have no reason to believe that some image out there in space means what you think it does. That computer didn't say anything about God or Jesus. For all you know, there could be a lot of ways to get to heaven.
I just couldn't let go. I just couldn't let go. I want to go back. Why can't we all just go back?
What are you doing, man?
Man, I'm getting out of here.
Are you crazy? There's nowhere to go.
You're the one who's crazy. Believe what you're saying. Why didn't you say something about it before now? But it could have made a difference.
I thought I'd have more time.
More time? Bill, we rode home from practice together every day. We roomed together at regionals every year. We talked about a lot of stuff. But we never talked about this.
I didn't think you were interested.
Maybe I wasn't. But I didn't know what I know now. And you did.
I know that many of you are hurting. Some of you are confused. You're asking yourselves, why? This all seems so senseless, such a waste. 4 precious young lives snatched away in an instant without warning.
Full name, please.
Kenneth Lane Johnson.
To the left, please.
and loss go hand in hand. We have all experienced a great loss, and it's only normal that the pain is great. The only way to deal with pain is to face it head on and walk through it. It won't just go away. You can't hide it, and you can't push it back down. You've got to be honest about it.
Full name, please.
Mary Ann Snavely.
Each of us here today is hurting. You are not alone with your grief, so don't be silent about your pain. By sharing it with each other, the burden of the pain becomes lighter.
Full name, please.
John. Stephen Perry.
It's also important that we put our pain in perspective. Really, it's not just for Mary and John and Ken and Bill that we hurt, but for ourselves. While they were among us, they brought joy to our imperfect world. Now, they have, in a sense, graduated to a better existence. There is no pain. You see, death is not an end. It's only the beginning. Death is just one of life's many passages. The time when each of us must shed our physical bodies in order to set our souls free, to release our spirits and to discover the potential that's hidden within all of us, to discover what Mary and John and Ken and Bill have discovered. But until then, until we are reunited with our friends, we must carry on. We must care for each other. I know that this is what they would say to you now if they could. Thank you.
This whole thing is a bad dream. I keep hoping it'll end, but it doesn't. I go to my locker, and I have to remind myself he's not going to be there. I I lie in bed at night, and I have this thought, Bill didn't call me today. And then it hits all over again. He can't call. He's gone. He's not ever going to call. Things were starting to go so good between us. And Mary was my best friend. We did everything together. And she's gone too. I feel so empty, so hollow.
Allison, there's something I need to talk to you about. I don't know why I feel so awkward about it. But I know that after everything that's happened, there's nothing more important to me. I should have shared it with John, Ken, and Mary. But I never took the time. And now I'll never have the opportunity. It's about Jesus. Jesus Christ.
Step to the right, please.
Could you look up a name for me, please?
Yes. Yes, may I help you?
Could you look up a name for me, too?
Yes. Name, please.
Allison Reed, R-E-E-D.
I'm sorry, that reservation has not been confirmed. Wait. That reservation has just been confirmed.
Closed. Please, don't nobody move. Don't nobody get up and walk around. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. And every head's bowed and every eyes closed tonight. Can I ask you a question this evening? Are you young people here tonight? I want you to search your heart right now. It don't matter what nobody at school says. It don't matter what your friends think. The most important thing in this world is knowing you're ready to meet the Lord. Are you ready? Have you got something in your life tonight that you need to nail to the cross? You know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. If you're not saved here tonight, you're going to hell when you die. You're going to burn and scream forever. Some of you young people here tonight, you're saved, but you haven't been telling your friends. And they'll cuss you to your face one day at the judgment because you're too chicken to tell them now. I wouldn't care if everybody in my school laughed at me. I want to make my reservations. You do what God tells you to do tonight. Do what God tells you. You just get up out of your seat and come tonight. Is God speaking to your heart tonight? Is there something in your heart between you and the Lord? Come on, let's get up out of your seat. Come on, let's pray right now. Come on. Come on, boys. That's right. Come on, young man. Let's go. Amen. Obey God right now. Don't be ashamed. Just come on, let's pray right now. Come on, teenager. Amen. Pastor's here at the front. He'll pray with you. Get up. Don't be embarrassed. Come on, young man. Young lady, come right now. Come on. Nail it to the cross. Let it die. How about it, mamas and daddy? Come on. Come on, young lady. Come on.
Nail it to the cross. Get it under the blood.
Amen. Come on, girl. Come on, right now. Amen. Obey God tonight. Obey God tonight. Whatever you think, come do business with God. That's right. Come on, somebody else. Come on, let's come on, somebody. Come on, let's pray right now. Come on. Come on.
Walk away, queen.
Amen. Come on, get saved tonight, young man. Don't be embarrassed. Come on, that's right. That's right. Others are coming. That's right. Others are coming. Come on, girl. Yeah. Come on. Obey God right now. Come on. Some of you ladies. I know what's wrong with some of you here tonight. You're chicken. You're afraid somebody will look at you funny or say something to you. But you all got saved. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. You're afraid somebody will laugh at you and make fun of you. Let me ask you something, buddy. What difference is it going to make when you're in hell? What difference does it make when you're in hell? You, listen, these people put in their reservation tonight. Their reservation has been made. You say, well, I'm afraid somebody will die. I'm afraid I can't live right. Just tell the devil to shut up and get down here and do what you need to do. We're going to ask them to sing a song again tonight. Young person, mom, dad, maybe there's a mom or daddy here tonight. You've never really made things right with God.
Why don't you do that tonight? And ain't nothing to be ashamed of. You don't stand before him one of these days. Will you come? While they sing, come on, just get up, come on right now. Get up, come on right now. Just get up, come. Amen. 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 Come on right now. Amen. Come on, will you come right now? Come on. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Come on, man. Come on, let the Lord help you tonight. Amen. Come on, boy. Come on, obey God. Obey God. Amen. Don't die and go to hell. Come on, nail it to the cross.
Just get up.
Amen.
Carry it down in the blood. And your pain in every stain in the mercy's blood. Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. Nail it to the tree. Walk away free. Nail it to the cross.
Business, because this might be your life change. Preacher comes, he can say whatever God leads him to say. He wants to